This morning, I'm actually going to be preaching the first of a two-part sermon. This morning, I'm going to be preaching on the subject, What Forgiveness Does. What Forgiveness Does. And next Sunday morning, I'm going to be preaching on the subject, What Forgiveness Does Not Do. And you say, well, does that mean I have to be here both services to get anything out of either message? And the answer to that is no. You're here this morning, so I hope you listen to the message this morning because there's some wonderful truths in it. And then I hope you will come back next Sunday and hear part two because there's some wonderful truths in it as well. But next week I'll be weaving the two together. And so those that will be here next week will get that. And if you miss next week, you'll miss it. And so I would ask you to come back and hear it if at all possible. In Psalm 51 that Chuck read just a minute ago, David actually wrote that psalm after his sin with Bathsheba. He was at a place where he shouldn't have been. He was at that place at a time that he shouldn't have been. And he was looking at something that he shouldn't have looked at. And as a result of those three things, he ended up committing adultery. And by the way, this is not part of my message, but that's how most sins start. Most big sins start when you're someplace you're not supposed to be, at a time you're not supposed to be, looking at something you're not supposed to be looking at. That opens the door for Satan to get in and tempt us and lead us into sin. And so David committed adultery, and this psalm was written after that sin. It was written also after he tried to cover it up. He says, I'll fix this. Nobody will ever find out about it. And he had Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, killed. And I don't know, but David might have said, nobody will ever know. I want to tell you something this morning. Again, this is not just part of my message. I'm just throwing these truths in as I make my way through the introduction to get to my message. You may be able to hide your sin from man. You may be able to hide it from your parents. You may be able to hide it from your spouse. You may be able to hide it from your friends. You may be able to hide it from your pastor and your Sunday school teacher. But you cannot hide your sin from God. God knows everything that goes on in your life. He knows the thoughts that are in your head. And you cannot, that's why the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Because you may be able to hide it, and I may be able to hide it, and we can hide it from each other. But we cannot hide it from our God. And God knew David's sin. And so he sent Nathan, one of his prophets, and he shook his finger in David's face and says, you're the man, you're the one that's committed this sin. And so David writes Psalm 51 asking for God's forgiveness for those sins. And I want you to notice what he asked for. You don't need to open your Bible again, but let me just mention some of the things that he asked for. He says, have mercy upon me, O God. Blot out my transgression. Wash me, cleanse me, purge me. And again, he says, washes me. And that's what sin does to a Christian. It makes us feel dirty. It makes us feel like we need to take a bath and wash. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And you go back in the book of Psalms and you read some of the Psalms that were written after this Psalm, and you'll find that God did for David what he asked for. He did wash him and he did cleanse him and he did restore unto him the joy of his salvation. In fact, in addition to doing what David asked for, and this is what God always does for us, he always goes beyond our expectation. He always gives us more than we ask for. And he did so in the case of David. The forgiveness of God is a wonderful thing. Amen? It's a wonderful thing. And this morning, I want to just remind you, a real simple message, but I want to remind you of some things that the forgiveness of God does for us. And I hope you leave this place rejoicing this morning for all the things that God's forgiveness does for us, His people. Now, I'm going to mention seven things. Now, I know it's about 21 till 12. We always get started a little bit late when we have the Lord's Supper. And I'm going to promise you, like I always do on the first Sunday, that I'll get you out real close to the time that we normally get out. But I want to review these things. They're not new, but they're blessed truths that we need to remind ourselves of over and over and over again, what God's forgiveness does for us. Number one, God's forgiveness takes care of my eternal punishment. God's forgiveness takes care of my eternal punishment. In John chapter 5, verse 24, the Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life." I'm a sinner. And because I'm a sinner, and by the way, so are all of you. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because that I'm a sinner, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And what I deserve as a sinner, just like every other sinner deserves, is to stand before God and be judged for our sins. When we studied the book of Revelation in chapter 20, well, we read some verses that talks about that judgment. I want to read some of them for you now. "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And that's what every single sinner deserves. Every single one of us deserve to stand before that great white throne, to stand before that judge of all the world, and where there's no place to flee. And every single one of us deserve to stand and be held accountable for our works, our sins, against an almighty God. But I want to tell you something this morning. I don't have to go there. I've been forgiven. And if you've been forgiven, you won't be there either. Our Savior took all of our sins and stood before God and was judged for those sins and paid the price on Calvary's cross. Glory to God. His forgiveness takes care of my eternal judgment, my eternal condemnation. I will not have to, and you will not have to stand. We may be there, as we talked about when we studied the book of Revelation. We may be a witness, but we will not be a defendant. We may be those that surround the throne and watch as God finally punishes those that have turned against him, but we will not be with those that will be pronounced guilty because our sins have been paid for and Jesus took care of all our eternal punishment. Number two, not only does forgiveness take care of my eternal punishment, but forgiveness removes all my sins from God's record. David prayed, "Lord, blot out my transgressions." What he was saying is, blot them off of your record. Take them out of the books that we just read about. To erase them. Take them off the page with my name at the top. Take those sins off that list. And that's exactly what forgiveness does. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, when Peter was preaching, he said, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." He said, that's what Jesus did for us. That's what he does for us. God takes my record that's in heaven, the record of my works, the records of my sins, and when I got saved, when I got the forgiveness that comes through Christ, God Almighty blotted every one of those sins off my page. Every lie that I told was blotted out. Every harsh word that I've said to somebody has been blotted out. Every evil thought that I have was blotted out. And if you go to look at my record this morning in heaven, you will not find any of the sins that I've committed, because the forgiveness of God blots them off my record. And praise God, it does the same thing for every single person that knows Christ as their Savior. Our sins have been blotted out. But not only that, and this gets better as it goes along, not only does forgiveness take care of our eternal punishment, not only does forgiveness blot out the sins from off of our record, the forgiveness of God prevents God from writing any more sins on that record. I mean, if he blotted them out, and if it was dependent on me to keep that page clean, I couldn't do it. And neither could you. We're still sinners. But his forgiveness not only forgives our sins in the past and blots them off our record, it keeps Almighty God from writing any more sins on that page. In Psalm 32, verse 2, the Bible says this: "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." I did a little study on that word imputed. You know what it means? Does not charge his account with. Blessed or happy is the man unto whom the Lord does not charge his account with his sin. Say, does that mean we'll never sin again? No. We're still sinners. Does that mean I can go out and live my life any way I want because God's not going to put any more sin on my record? No. Somebody asked Paul that question one time. He says, no, God forbid. How are we that are dead to sin? How should we sin anymore? What it means is that every time I fall, every time I fail, every time I stumble and sin, which I'm going to do, God says, I'm not going to write it on his record. I'm going to write it on Jesus' record. You know what that would be like? Somebody up front, who's got a credit card? Oh, Dick, you got a credit card? Let me have your credit card. Here, I'm going to illustrate what this means. Just any one of them. He gave me the whole wad of them. I could go to the mall and I could begin to charge. You know how you ladies like to do? Charge, charge. And us men too. And you know what? They won't put it on my record. They'll put it on Dick's record, because I'm using his card. Same way. When I sin, God doesn't write it on my record. He puts it on Jesus' record. And Jesus has already paid for it. And so forgiveness not only takes care of my eternal punishment, not only blots out all my sins, but also keeps God from writing any new sins on that record. But it gets better than that. The Bible says that forgiveness puts Christ's righteousness on my record. I like to do this. I've done it before. I'll probably do it again. Hey, Ron, would you come up here and help me for a second? I'm going to illustrate how this works. You know, Ron's kind of new in our church, and I thought maybe some of you would appreciate getting to know him. And so we're going to make a little list here of Ron's sins. Okay? Now, I talked to Debbie, so I know. See what happens when you don't come on Wednesday night. Now, I want to ask you. No, I'm just kidding you. She didn't tell me nothing. I want to ask you. Have you ever said anything that was untrue?
Yes.
Liar. Okay. Have you ever, even when you were a kid, ever taken anything that wasn't yours?
Yes.
Thief. Have you ever said a bad word?
Yes.
Blasphemer. Now, because we ain't got much time, we're just going to let all these other marks I put on this page represent the other things that we don't want anybody to know about. Okay? Now, all these things make you a sinner. And the Bible says the wages of that sin is death. talking about the second death. And so what you owe is hell. And by the way, apart from Christ, that's the same thing that every single person in this room owes. I mean, I could call each one of you up here, and I could call myself up here. My list would be a lot longer than this, by the way. And I'd owe the same thing, hell. Now, let's talk about Jesus. Tell me something good about Jesus. Anybody? Something good about Jesus. Okay, but something else about his character. Okay, Jesus is love. What else? He's kind. He's honest. He's merciful. Sinless. All right, that'll be enough. And long-suffering, I heard. Okay? So this is Jesus' record. You know what the forgiveness of God does? If Ron comes to Jesus and say, yep, I know I'm a sinner. I've done all these things. You don't have to convince me. I understand that what I owe is hell. If he comes to Jesus, if I come to Jesus, if you come to Jesus, and we say, we know we're a sinner, we know we owe hell, but we're depending on you to take care of our sin. You know what God does? He takes Ron's list. You know what he does? Jesus' list. He crosses out Jesus' name, and he writes Ron's name at the top of the list. And he writes my name at the top of the list. And so when God looks at my record, he doesn't see all the things that we wrote on that other list. He sees love, kindness, honesty, mercy, and all the other traits of Jesus. Thank you, brother. That's what God's forgiveness does for us. It takes all the righteousness of Jesus and puts it on our account. But it doesn't stop there. It does something else. Number five, his forgiveness justifies us. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know how I stand before God this morning? I stand just like Jesus does. I stand just like the Son of God who never committed a sin. I stand just like Jesus did, who never went to a place he shouldn't have gone, who never thought a thought he shouldn't have thought, who never said a word that he shouldn't have said. I stand before God this morning just as if I've never sinned. That's what the forgiveness of God does for me. That's what the forgiveness of God does for you. You stand before that judge of all the earth, and you are pure and clean in his sight. You're just as if you've never sinned, justified because of the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. But it does something else for us. Daniel, come up here and help me with this one. The Bible says, stand right there just for a minute. The Bible says that his forgiveness separates our sin from us. In Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Hey, Dave, I need you too. Come here. So here's Daniel. All right? Dave's going to stand right in front of him. Dave's going to represent all of Daniel's sins. Since he's his older brother, he's probably responsible for most of them, but that's beside the point. But Dave is going to represent all of Daniel's sins. And when Daniel receives Christ and gets God's forgiveness, Daniel turns away from his sins. And the Bible says, start walking down that aisle. And the Bible says that God removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. Keep going, Dave. You may be the only one that gets out on time. No, okay, that's enough. Stop right. Stop. Come back here. All right. Okay, thank you, guys. But that's how he removes our sins. I mean, as far as the east is from the west. Another part in the Bible, it says he buries them, casts them into the deepest part of the sea. I was thinking this week as I was thinking about the message. Oh, 15, 20 years ago, Debbie and I went to Hawaii hosting a dealer trip. And we took a submarine ride. And we kept going down, 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 down. And the guy brought this little submarine, not a big, but a little submarine, right to rest on the ocean floor. And it sounded like he turned everything off. I said, what's the matter? Are we out of gas? What's the problem? He said, no. He said, this is the deepest part of the ocean. And I wanted you to see it. And he turned on these big spotlights. And we were able to look out and see all sorts of things. And I was thinking about that this week. The Bible says that's where God cast our sin. I can remember thinking back on it that there was a mountain on the ocean floor. And I thought this week, that must have been Brother Dave's sins that were down there, that mountain. And then there was a little hill. I was thinking that's probably Brother Larry's sins. And then he turned the spotlight on, and I peeped out through that hole, and there was just a little molehill, a little anthill. I said, yeah, that's probably my sin. No, mine was probably the first one, the mountain. But God's forgiveness separates us from our sins. And then number 7, God's forgiveness helps him and makes him forget all of our sins. David was a murderer, an adulterer. But you go over into the book of Acts and you read what God later says about David. He says, David, a man after God's own heart. Now, adultery and murder is not after God's own heart. You know why God was able to say that over in the book of Acts? Because he forgot about the murder and the adultery when he forgave David. Noah was a drunk at least one time in his life. You remember the story? He laid naked in his tent, and one of his sons came in and saw him, and as a result of that, his son and grandchildren were cursed because of that. And yet, over in the book of 2 Peter, I think, God says, Noah, a preacher of righteousness. Now, why was God able to say that? Because he forgot about Noah being drunk and being naked. Abraham left the will of God. I mean, didn't trust God. A famine came and he said, "We, God can't take care of us." And he went down to Egypt and picked up a little Egyptian maid, Hagar, and by that little maid had an illegitimate child. And yet, over in the book of Hebrews, God calls Abraham his friend. Why? Because God forgot his sin. And then Moses. I mean, Moses committed a sin so big that even after 80 years of getting ready to lead God's people and then leading God's people, he committed a sin so big, God said, you can't go into the promised land. And yet, just a few verses after that, God says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Why? Because God forgot what Moses did when he got his forgiveness. The forgiveness of God is a wonderful thing. It takes care of my eternal punishment. It blots off my record every sin. It prevents God from writing new sins on there. And it goes beyond that because it puts God's righteousness on my record. It separates my sins from me. It makes God forget my sins. And that's what God's forgiveness does to every single person that has it. Let me ask you this morning, do you have it? Do you have the forgiveness of God? There's only one way you can get it. You can't get it by becoming a Baptist. You can't get it by joining this church. Can't even get it by taking the Lord's Supper. It has absolutely nothing to do with it. The only way to get the forgiveness of God is to come to Christ and to trust Him and what He did for us on Calvary to pay our sin debt to God. That's the only way. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And I wonder if you're here this morning and you don't enjoy. Now, there's some things forgiveness cannot do. We're going to talk about those next week. But there's some wonderful things it does. And if you don't enjoy those things, I would invite you this morning to come. Come to Jesus. Don't come to the church. Don't come to me. You come to Jesus. He can give you that forgiveness and all these good things that go along with it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you that you give it to us freely in the person of Jesus Christ. And if we put our trust in him, we have all these things that we've talked about this morning. And I pray there'll be Christians all over this room, this auditorium this morning, that will rejoice because you've reminded us of how good your forgiveness is. But Father, I pray for that one who may be here this morning that doesn't know what we're talking about. They've not enjoyed the benefits of forgiveness because they've never experienced the forgiveness, your forgiveness, because they've never come to Jesus. Would you help them see this morning that they're a sinner, that the wages for that sin is death? They will stand before that judgment throne one day, and they will give an account for their works, and they will be cast into an eternal hell. And the only thing that will keep them from that is by putting their faith and trust in the one who shed his blood for them. And I pray this morning, I think we're going to sing for invitation hymn, Place Your Hand in the Nail-Scarred Hand. And Father, I pray this morning that that one would come and do exactly that. They'd put their hand in the nail-scarred hand and they'd trust the one who died for their sin to make him right with you. And so I pray for that one this morning, Father, that doesn't know Christ. I pray that now, today, would be the day of their salvation, that they give themselves to Jesus and trust him. And we'll be sure to give him all the glory. And we ask him to use this invitation. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.